Bonjour and hello. Welcome to Northern Voices, celebrating ties to Minnesota's Northland. I'm Leah Lem, your host and a fellow Northlands explorer.
Hey, Rose.
Hey, whoa.
So Rose is here to tell stories with us.
Today, I get to spend some time at Great Expectations School in Grand Marais, where storyteller and children's book author Rose Arrowsmith DeCoux is joining a second grade class to tell stories.
But this is one of my favorite stories that I've told for a long time. I like lots of stories from Sweden and Norway, and this is from those countries. So have you ever heard of a name like Nils before?
No.
Well, that's a very Scandinavian name. And once upon a time, there was a boy named Nils who lived with his mother on a little farm, and it was a...
One of my favorite times of day is reading to my son before bed. He is 5 years old and loves when I attempt to do voices. I have a pretty good Elmo, and my pirate voice isn't too bad, but I have a feeling I'll be learning from the best today. Rose and I will chat a bit about how storytelling has been significant in her life and beyond, and we'll drop in on her storytelling from time to time.
Long ago, and Nils and his mother only could eat whatever they had grown themselves, and after the long winter, there was nothing in the house. They opened up all the cupboards. Go ahead, open up some cupboards. Take a look in there. Can you show me a sad face? Because there was nothing to eat. There wasn't even...
We'll get to see how Rose brings her own artistry to storytelling here on Northern Voices, where I'm learning even more about their traditions, sustainable practices, and the indigenous and ancestral ways of life of my new neighbors. Now, I was expecting Rose to whip out a book, hers or otherwise, but instead she stands at the front of the class and becomes completely animated. She moves side to side, gesturing with her arms and encouraging the children to join in on the sound effects, while I dodge and dip with my microphone. Even though I'm here as a professional, I can't help but stop and listen, starry-eyed.
Well, he hadn't run all this way just to turn right around, so he shouted, "Wind!" But do you think the wind heard him?
No.
Do you think you could help? No. Can we shout together? 1, 2, 3.
Wind!
And the wind came rushing up. Oh, the wind was much bigger than Nils had expected. But the wind didn't seem unkind. What do you want, child? Well,
Rose doesn't hesitate with her storytelling, but it doesn't sound the least bit scripted either.
I had it described to me as like a jazz musician knows where they're going to start and where they're going to end, and they sort of know the main elements that are going to be incorporated in the order, but then you just improvise in between. So I really like that freedom and just like hearing the things that I say with different audiences. Sometimes I think, oh, that's good. I'm going to try and remember that for next time. And there's something also about that repetition in oral storytelling that gives such a sense of timelessness and ritual and belonging and connection. If you're listening to a story that maybe I'm telling about my grandma's house, I can describe the house really specifically, but everybody has sort of their own picture, but somehow it all, it's this very personal experience, but also it's really a connected experience.
This is no ordinary tablecloth. All you must do is spread it before you and say these words. Cloth, give me something good to eat, and it will be filled with all your favorite foods.
Rose went to college to study theater, but she found a knack for telling stories in creative and unexpected ways, and ended up focusing on storytelling over theater acting. In a storytelling class, her professor taught her a valuable lesson.
Stop acting like actors. If you're doing theater, the audience is supposed to watch you. You're the actor. But if you're telling a story and you do it well, you should disappear and the audience should be watching the story. And I felt like that just really spoke to me. It removed all of the ego. There's a reason that stories are enjoyable and that really gives us a payoff, that it's not just this transfer of knowledge. There's something really core to being human and how we've evolved that stories address. But for me, it's just magical. Like, really, the reason I want to do it is because I always feel like I'm looking for doorways into Narnia. And then I want to go, hey, look, here's the wardrobe. Let's go into Narnia. Let's go into this sort of magical land. So
we talk more about the tradition of storytelling and why she's drawn to Scandinavian stories in particular.
I think it's pretty cool to tell stories that were collected a long time ago. There is something for me just in, maybe it's more like in the flavor of, say, Scandinavian stories that does for me feel really similar to going to my family's farm for Christmas and having Swedish meatballs. And I don't eat lutefisk anymore because I've eaten enough of it in my life. But just that's sort of in the atmosphere. I think there is something comforting, kind of the same way Swedish meatballs are really comforting in telling some of these Scandinavian stories, that it has kind of that feeling of home.
And home for Rose is now Grand Marais. She didn't grow up here, so I ask her how she found herself in one of the most beautiful cities I've ever visited.
I had, for a few years already, been going out to the Norse Coast Fest in Minot, North Dakota, which is the biggest Scandinavian festival in North America, I think. And I was going out as Pippi Longstocking and kind of roaming around, being this interactive character, and then also doing some storytelling. The North House Folk School here in Grand Marais has a booth out there, or at least at the time they did, so they demonstrate all these traditional crafts. The North House booth, there was this really cute young guy doing some wood carving, and I ended up marrying him the next year. So my husband Jay was an intern here in Grand Marais at the Folk School, and that was my introduction to Grand Marais.
So how does Rose continue the tradition of storytelling while bringing more of her own perspective to the folk tales she tells?
You can change them. They happen to be recorded in this one version, but you can find major variations on, say, Cinderella throughout lots and lots of cultures. Like, it used to be a silver slipper or a gold slipper. It's nice that there's also this freedom that if I'm telling stories, I don't have to, say, always have male characters doing the interesting things. Or if there are princesses in it, I want to be true to the core of the story, but a lot of times you can just remove the whole part about, and at the end the princesses fell in love with the princes in this land that they were visiting. And it doesn't have to be about that. So I like that aspect, that I sort of get to create my own narrative, and it's maybe like playing, like taking my grandma's recipe for rice pudding, but then I get to make my own modern version of it and be inspired and do my own thing with it. The ingredients are still the same. I'm just changing the spices.
Rose has also brought the tradition of oral storytelling around the Arrowhead region and looks forward to doing it again.
So I went to 23, I think, of the 26 libraries in the Arrowhead system. And then I'll do that again in August with a show called Brave Girls and Wise Women, which is all folktales where the protagonists are girls and women, which has been really fun.
I can't wait to check that out and bring my son out to see her perform as well.
So we can't possibly list all the foods that were on that tablecloth, but it was all Nils's favorite things. And he began to eat and eat. Go ahead, eat some of your feast. Until he was so full.
On the long drive home back to Grand Rapids, I think about how special story time with my young child truly is. Learning how to read is important, sure. Spending time together is the highlight of my day. But opening up our minds to imagination is something that can transport us anywhere and help us see beyond our physical world. Thank you, Rose, for sparking my imagination. I'm Leah Lem. Thank you for joining me for Northern Voices. Northern Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota. Musical Flourishes brought to you by Sam Miltich, and thank you to team member Aaron Warhol for the extra listening and guidance. Giga Wabamin, and see you soon.